Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Realm of Heroes and Monsters Storytime with me, your host, writer, artist, nerd, A.P. Fuchs. And here we are. We're going to get right into another story. But this one, again, last week, remember I mentioned Axeman is coming back? Well, guess what? He is back, and he's going to be going up against some werewolves this edition. So this is going to be awesome. So I want you guys to just totally relax, envision the beasts, envision Axiom Man, and just like have this thing going on in your head, right? So that's my instruction to you for this particular podcast when we hit the story time thing. And the other thing we're doing is we're reading from Metahumans versus Werewolves, which is a superhero versus werewolf anthology. Axiom Man has a story in there. And yeah, more about that in the story behind the story segment of this podcast. So after the story, please stay tuned because there is a discussion about the story and about the anthology itself. All right, so be sure for that. And in other Axiom Man news, we are about roughly a quarter or so of the way through writing Axiom Man Transformations. As I put in my newsletter that went out just recently, my hope is to finish it soon. It's a novella, so being a quarter finished, you know, in terms of a novella regarding novella length is actually a decent chunk in. So I'm hoping to just finish it off really, really soon and ideally fall into some sort of writing binge where I could just sort of crank it out and marathon write it, because for myself as a writer, I find actually I do better work marathon writing than I do not marathon writing. But anyway, on with the show, right? You want me to be quiet? You want to hear a story? All right, good idea. So close your eyes, relax, imagine Axiom Man, imagine werewolves, and stay tuned because coming up right now is Right of the Wolf. Right of the Wolf. The woman's blood-curdling scream could be heard from even 300 feet in the air. It was raw, powered by adrenaline and sheer terror. Axiom Man flew in its direction, blue-gloved fists stretched out before him. She screamed again, this time one long drone that hung on the air and got louder the closer he approached, seeming to pick up strength versus diminishing over time. He came out over the top of a small strip mall on Main and expected to see someone being harassed in front of the divey bar attached to it. Instead, the parking lot was bare. At one morning, the rest of the stores of the mall were closed. The shriek sounded again, and he caught a glimpse of movement at the bus shelter across the way, near the street. He flew over. The woman stood on the far end inside of the shelter, her back up against the ad-covered wall opposite the entrance. She was trapped. Across from her, the creature stood over 6 feet tall, sheer muscle and covered in black fur. Axiom Man flew in, ignoring the urge to try and reason with it. If recent events in his life dictated anything, it was that the world had changed, and no longer was humanity on its own. Between the rise of the undead, to strange creatures in Florida, to supervillains trying to take over the city, he learned that it was sometimes better to use force first, and then sort things out afterward. He came in hard at the creature, wrapping his arms around its waist and knocking it away from the bus shelter. The woman was still inside, utterly losing it, shrieking and screaming. He took the creature to the sidewalk, plowing it into ground with his shoulder to his chest. It took a swipe at him with a giant paw easily twice the size of his own hand. He arched back, the paw missing his face, before following up the creature's strike with one of his own. His fist came down swift and hard, his knuckles buckling against the dense bone of the creature's jaw. It was only when the creature stopped moving did he have a chance to see it had a wolf's head. This had to be the real deal. There was no way this was a mask or even some clever makeup job. The fur looked natural, like that of a dog, its maw large, sharp teeth glistening with saliva. Its nose was shiny and wet, and its tongue moved back and forth as it lay there unconscious, panting. The woman's panicked screams behind him went silent. Axeman stood to see what happened, but the moment he got to his feet, something plowed into him from behind and sent him face first to the cement. The impact echoed inside his skull, and for a moment all went black and silent before the ground beneath him came back into view. Arms shaking, he slowly pushed up against the ground, only to be slammed back down again from behind. A loud bang rang through his skull as he struck the cement one more time before the lights went out. With his legs and wrists hog-tied behind him, Axiom Man couldn't move and he couldn't bend around to look at their restraints or blast them with his I-beams. He wrestled against them, and no matter how much he pulled, couldn't get them to break. While being able to lift around 2,000 pounds was nothing to sneeze at, a different exertion of force would be needed to snap these bonds. They felt hard. Metal cords or cabling of some sort. Axiom Man was in a cave, a faint stream of light coming in through a few cracks in the rocky ceiling above. There were no exits, and he was alone. Even when he activated his flight and hovered around the cave, which he guessed was around 25 foot square, he couldn't find an exit. There must have been one at one point, he thought. If there was a way in, there had to be a way out. Must have been sealed. Regardless, whoever brought me here clearly wanted me out of the way. The question is why? Who's planning what? Head still aching, cheekbones stinging, and no doubt bruised from having his face sent into the cement, the fierce pounding behind his eyes told him he'd been out for quite a while. The little bit of light coming in suggested at least 5 or 6 hours had passed. The buzzing in his ears and strange metallic taste on his tongue didn't make him feel any better either. His mask was still on. Whoever grabbed him didn't seem concerned with his true identity. Axeman pulled and tugged at the restraints, but like each time before, they didn't budge. For a brief moment, he wondered if he somehow lost his powers, but he was just floating, and he doubted only his strength was gone while his other abilities remained. I have no choice but to wait this out, he whispered. As the moments passed, he kept an ear open for any suggestion of movement beyond the cave, or even the movement of anything within. Despite the faint bit of light coming in, the shadows were thick, and it was hard to make out much beyond the few revealed rocky walls. Even after igniting his I-beams to a faint glow to review the room, there is nothing or no one else in here with him. That creature at the bus stop. It'd been a giant wolf, but mutated, walking on two legs and with a body that put any power lifter to shame. Obviously, there had been more of them, and it was clearly them that put him here. But how many? What did they want? Thinking it best to reserve his strength, he stilled his body and slowed his breathing and simply waited. With the loud snap of 1,000 whips cracking at the same time, a jolt of fear shockwaved through his system. It came from just beyond the cave and echoed for several seconds before fading out. He hovered, ensuring he was upright, ready. Another stunning snap broke the silence, its sound enough to make his insides lock. Gritting his teeth, he floated up to the cracks in the ceiling and tried to look through them. He saw nothing, just the dawn. Another profound snap made him jump away from the crack and put his heart into his throat. "What is that?" he said. When the echo faded, he heard loud grinding and scraping and the rustle of 1,000 leaves. He drew in closer to the cracks in the ceiling, this time lighting up his eyes and examining how thick the rock was. "I can do this," he told himself. Had he been invincible, he would have floated down to the cave floor, then shot up and flew at the rock, using his ultra strength to bust through. Instead, he'd have to use his I-beams. Axeman went back down to the ground and floated a safe distance away. He aimed at the cracks, then let his eyes fill with blue light before unleashing their power on the rock. The beams struck and blasted through, bringing down a portion of the ceiling. Chips of stone shot out when the chunks of rock hit the cave floor. A few struck him, and one for certain grazed his arm and slid it open over his left bicep. He couldn't flex it, so it seemed only superficial. Before the dust could settle, loud howls pierced the air and Axeman's insides did a somersault. Quickly, he floated off the ground and headed for the opening. He was almost out when a large shadow filled his sight and pounced on him, sending him back down with such force he barely had a chance to slow his descent before hitting the rocks that dug deep into his back. Before he could adjust and try to get back up, a heavy weight settled on his chest, crushing his lungs. Hot, foul breath wafted against his face. The stench of wet dog filled his nostrils. Lighting his eyes, Axeman's heart did a flip when he saw the disfigured face of a man with a wolf's snout and teeth, his dark eyes black as the cave around him. The creature was covered in fur, head to foot. The man-beast growled, the low rumble sending haunting vibrations through Axeman's body. Axeman shot out an energy beam from his eyes, sending the creature off him. The wolfman yelped. More shadows closed in. Axeman began to float toward the roof, trying to get out again, but was soon swarmed and taken down once more. Hairy beasts loomed over him, each disfigured, each with the face of a deranged wolf. The beasts barked and snapped at him, but instead of ripping him limb from limb like he thought they would, one of them wrapped its huge hand around his arm and dragged him toward the opening. Still struggling against his restraints, Axeman moved to fly away, but the beast had such a hold on him that he couldn't gain any distance. Others reinforced the one that held him, keeping him in check and disabling him from flying off. "Just stay calm," Axeman told himself. More thunderous snaps sounded just outside the cave. Despite the wolfmen's feral appearance, they seemed to have control of themselves, their movements calculated. These weren't simply wild beasts. They were something more. Perhaps something more dangerous. Outside the cave, Axeman was taken down a rocky hillside. At the bottom, a crowd of the wolfmen were gathered. Somewhere around 50 of them, he guessed. All with muscular, hairy bodies, long arms, short legs with powerful thighs, and each with large wolf heads. Some had brown fur, others gray, a few black. There was a forest at the bottom of the hill, the trees old, thick and tall. Many along the outer edge were broken, others torn up at the roots. Another booming snap made Axeman look to the right where he saw one of the wolf creatures shoving one of the trees over. The tree cracked at its base. He could only imagine the amount of force required to break a tree like a dry stick and was curious if he himself possessed the same strength. But if he did, he would probably be able to break the bonds that restricted him. Axeman wrestled with his restraints. One wolf gripping his arm must have noticed and gave him a powerful yank, stopping his efforts, and the beast and the others took him over to another broken tree that lay at an angle against the ground like a wrecked teeter-totter. Axeman flipped himself over so he can get a clear shot at the hairy beast. He powered up his eye beams, and a second later sent off a blast into the wolfman's snout. The beast dropped before him and howled. Snarling, the beast then turned and pounced on him. Axeman went to fire off another round when a hairy paw covered his eyes. He didn't care and blasted the claws off the creature's hand. The thing yelped. Axeman strained again to look over his shoulder to see if he could spot the restraints, perhaps blast them apart. His head and neck wouldn't crane that far. "If I could just have a minute and..." Two wolfmen covered in brown fur bounded in from the sides, grabbed him, and hauled him over to the broken tree and slammed him on top of it. Quickly, they produced long metal cords. So he had been right, and it made sense why he couldn't break his bonds. He tried to shoot the cords with his eye beams, but a swift punch to his face put a stop to that. Bewildered, he didn't have time to try again before strong, hairy hands gripped his head. One forced his head back while the other pulled on his jaw, forcing it open through his mask. With its razor-like claw, the wolfman punctured the opening where his mask stretched over his mouth and cut a hole. Axeman shot off the beast's hands. Another wolf growled, swooped in, and bit down hard on Axeman's shoulder. His flesh lighting with pain, Axeman tried to avert his gaze to the one who'd bitten him, but before he could fire off another shot, one of the wolf creatures shoved something in his mouth. The next thing he knew, hot liquid splashed down his throat. Within seconds, his head began to swim, and he was burning all over, sweat coating his skin. His vision blurred, and buzzing filled his ears. "What's happening to me? I..." He'd never been drugged before, never even done drugs. It felt like his awareness was being detached from his body, even his mind. Fuzzy darkness rimmed his vision, and the wolfman transformed into a mosaic of fangs and fur. One came close and... Nauseous, Axeman emerged from a blanket of darkness. He couldn't move, could barely see, could barely hear. He tried to speak. "Where?" He couldn't remember what he was going to ask. His hands were now bound above him at the wrists, his ankles strapped down. He was on his back, tied to a fallen tree. Heavy footfalls drummed softly in his ears. He looked around. He was surrounded by the wolfmen. One of them had silver fur and was larger than the others. Its visage was also cleaner, less deformed, and more wolf-like than its kin. The beast drew near and leaned over Axeman's body, sniffing him. Axeman knew he should be doing something to stop the creature, but couldn't think of what. Something about looking at him? Some kind of light? If only he could get his thoughts straight. The wolfman pulled back and produced a long blade from a bag strapped across its chest. The blade was 2 feet long, black metal, with a tri-pronged tip. From beyond the silver wolf, the others howled and growled and barked, their sounds not random, but in some kind of rhythm, a chant. Stomach doing somersaults, Axeman wanted to close his eyes and just pass out again, but he knew he had to stay awake. Quick flashes of what came before raced through his head, and he remembered the cave, being bound, trying to escape, fighting, and being forced to drink some weird liquid that now played with his mind and hampered his abilities. The silver wolf turned to the others and raised its hand, silencing them. When it spoke, its voice was a low growl, but it did not speak English, the language. Axeman didn't know what it was, but it sounded ancient and with purpose, and by the way the silver wolf seemed to extend certain words and shorten others. He wished he knew what the beast was saying. A couple of minutes later, the wolf turned to face him and came over with a knife. Slowly, the beast dragged the blade down Axeman's chest, its sharp tips scratching the material of his uniform but not piercing it. The wolf then brought the blade to one side, then the other, then brought it around in a circle before punctuating the movement with 4 quick jabs at the 4 corners of his tostrum. The cuts were a couple of centimeters deep and produced blood. Axeman winced from the pain. His ears rang and his head felt like it was filled with sand. "Must..." The rest of the words failed him. The wolf drew close and brought the knife to Axeman's face. The beast drew the same pattern on his face like it had on his chest. The warmth of blood from the 4 cuts moistened Axeman's skin beneath his mask. The wolf took a step back and closed its eyes. It raised the knife and drew the same pattern on the air. Once completing the 4 corners, the creature spoke in that strange tongue, and when it completed its sentence, held the syllable of the last word. A warm wind rose on the air, and strange puffs of black cloud materialized and dissipated in bursts all around them. With each burst of cloud, Axeman's insides lurched, and a torrent of memories came to the fore of his mind. These clouds. They seemed similar to those of the Doorway of Darkness, the one Red saw had opened in what seemed a lifetime ago. Clouds. It was always clouds. They were the cause of everything and, he guessed, the cause of these strange wolfmen. Whether the clouds had actually created them or had acted like a portal the same way they had back when he had traveled to that other world filled with the undead, he didn't know. But it was the same clouds. "I'm tired of those things." It didn't escape him he had actually formed a complete thought instead of trailing off. The silver wolf moved to his feet, dipping out of view so it could access them, and made the same lines and circle pattern at the soles of Axeman's boots. He poked the 4 corners as well, each foot acting as a top and bottom corner. Whatever he's doing is clearly some kind of ritual. Axiom Man wrestled against his bonds. There's no way to know how much of it he has completed, and if those clouds showing up are any indicator, whatever happens when the rite is complete won't be good. I have to stop it, cut it off. He took a deep breath and fought against the cords as discreetly as he could so as to not tip off the silver wolf. Nothing budged. If I could just get a clean look at them and shoot them off. He tried to see his wrists, but the tree beneath his head prevented his neck from craning upward all the way. Maybe his feet? About to raise his head to get a look at his ankles, he stopped when the silver wolf glanced his way, eyed him, then made more circular motions with the knife against the air. His heart increasing, Axie Man wasn't sure what he was going to do, but he couldn't just lay there and let them finish this. He hoped that this right was localized, that right here, right now, was the only place it was going on, and that he was the only victim. But if they succeeded, who knew how many others would be hurt or killed? Those black clouds kept appearing, bursting in and out of existence like smoky fireworks. The silver wolf didn't seem to mind. If anything, it appeared that's what he wanted. The beast went behind Axiom Man and addressed a crowd of wolves on the other side. Axiom Man pulled against his restraints. The bonds dug into his wrists and ankles. There was no way to break these things. No way to escape, except to... Axiom Man screamed and pulled against the cords. They dug into his wrists and ankles, cutting into his flesh. He wished for impervious skin so it wouldn't hurt so much. Activating his flight, he poured on as much force as possible. Beneath him, the thick tree trunk quickly went upright, catching where its torn base met his roots. The silver wolf spun on its heels and growled at him. The wood splintered and tore. Axiom banked to the right and spun around, twisting the wood at the bottom, forcing it to snap and crack before release. He was airborne, taking the tree with him. He kicked on the speed and flew as high and fast as he could. The silver wolf leapt at him, claws spread, tried to grab him. It missed, and the silver wolf landed back on the ground. From the air, Axiom Man saw the scene below. The same circle pattern cut on his skin was formed with the trees, each one toppled over, creating a cross within a circle, four corners around the circle punctuated with piles of stone. Flashes of dark cloud burst in and out of existence at various points over the circle. The werewolves below scampered around, howling. Now able to focus and take some time, he glanced at his feet and saw the cord that bound him. Firing up his I-beams, he blasted them away. He then flew backward, flipping himself upside down so he can get a bead on the cords binding his wrists. He cut through the bonds and the tree fell away. Punching his fists out before him, he flew straight to the earth below, aiming for the silver wolf. The creature already had its eye on him and was bounding toward him, claws ready, teeth bare. The two collided. Axiom Man struck the silver wolf across the face, sending its snapping jaws to the side. The wolf swiped at him, missed, and ripped a chunk out of his cape. It jumped on top of him and squeezed both hands around his neck. Trachea quickly collapsing beneath its powerful claws, Axiom Man fired a shot off from his eye beams, cutting the tongue out of the silver wolf's mouth. The tongue flew through the air and landed on the ground beside them like a fish out of water. The black clouds still formed and collapsed around them. Other wolves appeared from behind the clouds and closed in on Axiom Man. The silver wolf held out its giant paw as if to tell them to hold off. Using it as a distraction, Axiom Man grabbed the wolf by the paw, pulled him in, then delivered a hard elbow across the creature's face. A loose tooth flew to the ground as the wolf rolled over to the side. Axiom Man got on top, punched him once, and then jumped into his feet and zapped the werewolf where he saw, spun, zapped another, turned, flew into one, and brought it to the ground, got up, and did it again to another. Other wolves came in, sizing him up. He got ready. They rushed him. He ducked low, punching one in the gut, and then brought himself around to the other side of its body and delivered a kick to the one coming in right behind it. He shot his eye beams into the face of another, then flew at one, grabbed it by the scruff of its neck, and dragged it across the ground, bloodying it up before letting go and plowing a full blast into another bounding atom. Axeman turned and a giant black cloud loomed before him. It flickered in and out of existence, creating a murky veil that revealed a world beyond his own. He expected to see the same red and black cloudy realm that was revealed behind the doorway of darkness all that time ago. But instead, saw a barren world with legions of werewolves all standing at the ready, some naked in their own fur, others wearing armor made from chainmail and steel, with shields and swords. This was about trying to start an invasion, he said to himself. If I hadn't... Thank God he had been able to get away. Otherwise, it seemed, this doorway to a woven world would have been completely open and the human race would have been wiped out. The doorway faded, revealing the silver wolf standing behind it, his face filled with hate. Axiom Man. Oh, he didn't know what to do. His mouth oozed blood from his severed tongue. The wolf. Axiom Man's eye beams hadn't cauterized it. Axiom Man kept his fists at the ready. With a growl, the werewolf jumped at him. Axiom Man dropped to his knees, held out both hands, caught the beast, and threw him over his head, sending the creature cartwheeling through the air. While the silver wolf was still airborne, Axiom Man fired off another round of energy beams and cleaved the creature in two. Its smoking carcass split and fell to either side. Standing there, catching his breath, Axiom Man looked around. There were more wolves that needed to be dealt with. He hadn't meant to kill the silver wolf. It'd been on reflex, but looking at its split body on the ground, he couldn't believe that he felt little regret. He never wanted to kill anything as Axiom Man. That wasn't who he was or what the idea of his identity was about. He was supposed to be a sign of truth, something that was self-evident in that regard, something people could count on. Because the wolf wasn't human, did that make killing it right? Axiom Man had destroyed other creatures before, the zombies, but those were dead already, moving, but dead. One couldn't kill that which was already dead, but these wolves, they were alive, sentient, and no doubt had thoughts and feelings similar to his own. As the black clouds faded around him, he saw more werewolves ebbing closer, some with their eyes fixed on their fallen master, others with their eyes fixed on him. These creatures, could they be reasoned with? Could he somehow talk to them and convince them to live peaceably with the rest of the world? Or were they nothing but bloodthirsty beasts who needed to be stopped? Was it up to him to choose what lives he'd spare, what others must be removed? He had to say something, anything. Can you understand me? No sign they did, just hungry glares and snarling mouths. Stop this. Whatever you were told about what was going on or what was going to happen isn't going to happen anymore. Don't come any closer. They paid him no mind and kept advancing. A few howled. Someone show me they understand. Talk to me. Surely they must understand something. The silver wolf had known to use him as part of the ritual to open the portal. It knew that his powers were tied into something cosmic, and if not specifically with the battle between the messenger and the one who gave Red Saw his powers, then at least the idea that Axiom Man and Red Saw were linked. Why the wolf hadn't gone after Red Saw, he didn't know, but Red Saw had also been absent ever since the night the doorway of darkness opened. But if the silver wolf could use me to open the portal, what does that say about my own power? Is there a darkness inside me, or just an otherworldly ability to open doors to other realms? Please, stop this, he said. As the werewolves closed in, Axiom Man got himself ready. These wolves were different. They didn't seem to think for themselves, and whatever hold the silver wolf might have had on them wasn't broken when it died. These creatures appeared to only be motivated by one end: finish the silver wolf's work. Axiom Man closed his eyes and said a silent prayer for forgiveness. There was only one way to end this, and he couldn't very well let them finish the rite, open a doorway, lead them back to that other world, then try and escape that and somehow close the portal himself. An entire armada of werewolves could enter his world by then, and he'd be hopelessly outpowered. He opened his eyes and knew what he had to do. Immediately, he dropped down and sent an array of energy blasts into the legs of the approaching wolfmen, Their legs were severed just below the knee, and they collapsed, howling. Some of the wolves behind them bounded over the bodies. Others tripped and fell, buying Axie Man some time. He got to his feet and sent several blasts into the approaching beasts, killing a handful before having to fly up and over a few more unless they grabbed him. One jumped up and crashed into him mid-air. The two tumbled to the earth. The creature's large maw snapped and bit at Axie Man's face. He shot off its lower jaw, grabbed it by its side of the head, snapped its neck, and rolled it off him. The second he sat up and got to his feet, another pounced on his chest, sending him back down. This one swiped at him with its claws and cut through the fabric of his uniform over his ribcage. Blood coming from the wound. The beast's other claw came in from the other side. Axie Man blocked it and sent an energy blast into the creature's chest. It flew off him. He got his feet under him and immediately clashed with two werewolves that zipped in from the sides. They wrestled with his arms. He flew straight up into the sky, stopped some 400 feet from the ground, then hurled both beasts earthward before flying past them as they fell and zapped a handful of other wolves that looked up at him from below. He glanced around and guessed there were still around 30 wolves to take care of. 6 of them came and encircled him, each one now all on all fours, eyeing him, low, guttural growls leaking out their lips. Axie Man fried the one in front of him, flew up, and avoided 2 that came in from the sides, shot them with his eye beams from the sky, then came down and dispatched the other 3 with violent punches to each of their throats. "Don't think about what you're doing, just do it," he told himself. Adrenaline racing through him, it was easy to get lost in the moment. He just couldn't give himself pause over ending so many lives. Not now. If he failed, many more lives would be lost. Many more human lives, he kept telling himself. It didn't make killing these things right, but it had to be done for the greater good, and, sadly, he saw a clear divide between man and creature, with man having the preeminence. 2 more beasts jumped on him, each pinning his arms. One bit into his hand. He blasted that one away, kicked the creature off his other arm, got to his feet, and finished it off. He took to the air and shot several more before being knocked down by a hairy brute that seemed twice as large as the others. The creature struck him across the head, sending a sheet of stars over his vision. Axie Man ignored the pain and shoved against the beast's chest. Even with his great strength, the beast barely moved and struck him again. Head suddenly knocked into a realm of sheer vertigo, Axie Man forced a blast of energy out of his eyes and burnt a hole straight through the beast. Its smoking carcass fell off to the side. The other wolves looking on seemed stunned for a moment by the display of sheer power before they came in and tried to grab him. "Keep moving," he told himself. That was their weakness. They were quick, but he was quicker. His ability to fly and rapidly maneuver around them gave him the edge he needed to stay alive. It was only when they got hold of him did their strength begin to match his own. Axie Man blasted away a handful of wolfmen, then took to the sky and started shooting his eye beams from this vantage point. He should have thought of this sooner and avoided all the pain. One by one, the creatures fell until only the last remained. The beast stood, claws ready, growling. Axie Man floated down and landed before it. "If I kill it, it will be over." Except he felt hesitancy bubbling within, the idea of putting an end to a species making him want to just stop and walk away. But he shouldn't have been in this world to begin with. If I ever find the source of these creatures... "One last chance," he told it. "Talk to me. Tell me you understand what I'm saying. Please don't be like the others." The creature bowed, ready to pounce. "Don't be without hope," Axie Man said. He prayed the creature would stand upright, would indicate the battle was over. One last chance to make things right. Instead, the creature lunged at him. Axie Man cut it down, cleaving its head from its body with his eye beams. Heart racing, needing air, he dropped to his knees, leaned over, and tried to catch his breath. A corner had been turned. There was no going back now. These things, the beasts, they were all dead, and he knew something had changed inside him. Whatever man he'd been before now was gone, and he was faced with being someone who had killed. He'd become that which he fought against. If he allowed a gray area to enter his life, the notion that murder was allowed. He cried out, fear and anger lacing his wails. These wolf men, perhaps they were but a mirror of something inside himself. Perhaps they weren't the beasts. Perhaps it was him. Welcome to Story Behind the Story. So we read from Metahumans versus Werewolves. So there's sort of two sides to this story behind the story. So let's talk about the story first, and then I'll talk briefly about the anthology. So regarding the story, I'll admit there was a challenge writing it. And the challenge in writing it was simply, you know, one, we know that werewolves are strong and that sort of thing. And Axiom Man, of course, is strong too. And I didn't just want to write a story where it was just purely like, you know, werewolf versus Axiom Man, fight scene over fight scene over fight scene. And that's basically the story, was just constant fighting. That, you know, could, has its place and it's fun for sometimes, but in reality, I needed to actually have a story about this, you know. And because the trick, you know, with writing a hero with powers is, in most circumstances, those powers basically give them the ultimate edge. They could end the thing like ultra quick, and then you'd have nothing, right, in terms of a story. So I had to put a Axiom Man in a position where he couldn't use his powers, or he was restrained from using his powers, to build the tension, to build the circumstance, to increase the stakes, to explain sort of what's going on in regards to the werewolves, you know, where they might have come from, what's going on, and from their point of view, what were they doing, things like that, right? So you kind of have to, the trick was, like, yeah, coming up with ways to almost like stall him from using his powers, you know? Because again, if you just resort immediately to powers, and then it just defeats the whole point, because then you have no story. It's so easy just for a superhero who's powerful to just take out something less powerful. So yeah, so that's what I tried to do with this one, was just, you know, craft a story around something where I had to limit the hero in terms of the ability to stop the problem until later on where the problem could be stopped, you know. So this, of course, is different than the other one where Axiom Man was fighting zombies, in terms of style, in terms of delivery, in terms of the combat. And, you know, this one is also a story that demonstrates the significance of the book Axiom Man, Doorway of Darkness. That particular book was crafted for a certain reason. And it was, and the reason, one of the reasons, was to do stuff like this, right? Because the whole premise of the Axiom Man saga as a whole is, what if this, what if he became, you know, into our world tomorrow? How would that most realistically play out? And at the same time, I wanted, you know, create these elements of the fantastic. So the Doorway of Darkness was my door, so to speak, to do that. And as a result, now we have stories where we could fight zombies, where we could fight werewolves, we could do other things and other villains and all that stuff. So that part's basically the story behind that particular story. Regarding the anthology, this was the second in the Metahumans versus series. We did zombies first, and then we did werewolves second. And the call went out to those who were part of the first one, as well as a few other people. And we didn't have a rule regarding werewolf lore. Like, we didn't say, this is the lore, you have to adhere to this lore. The concept, just like the zombie thing, was put your hero against this particular monster, but in terms of how that monster functions and what their background is, or their mythology, or their abilities and or limitations, all that stuff is up to you. So that, as a result, what we got here now is now an awesome collection of superhero versus werewolf stories, where one, you get treated to new heroes with unique powers, and then two, you get treated to multiple werewolf lore type stories, right? Like with werewolves with different backgrounds and reasons for being there. So yeah, I mean, the stories throughout this entire book are amazing, and I suggest picking it up if you can, because again, this is a nice way to get variety and other views on how, say, a superhero would tackle a monster. But yeah, Metahumans versus, man, it's a good series. But anyway, that's basically the story behind the story. It's just to try to do something different with the werewolf genre. I didn't play into any particular lore per se. I just wanted him to fight Beast, but I wanted to do it in such a way where Axie Man was stuck for most of the story, therefore creating the mythos of the werewolf. And then at the end, of course, you have your big climax and conflict, and ta-da, the hero came out on top. But as we learned in this particular story, did he come out on top? Well, I'll leave that to you to decide. All right. Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned for after the credits for a little PSA. And here we are, after the credits. This little after the credits segment is kind of like almost like a secret nook in a cave, you know. It's kind of like this little after thing, this little hidden thing, you know, after a long dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum throughout the credits and that sort of stuff. So it's kind of like this little hidden section of the podcast. Anyway, all I wanted to do today was simply give you a creator PSA, all right? And that's simply this. If there is a creator that you enjoy, it doesn't matter what medium, it could be books, comics, and sculpting, whatever. The point is, if you have the opportunity to purchase directly from the creator, sometimes it might cost a little more in regards to the shipping aspect of things, but from the creator side of things, it helps them out better. You know, instead of their readers or customers defaulting to places like Amazon and whatever, they get a little bit extra money out of the buying direct. And what that does is, it's not an issue of them wanting more money, it's an issue of them wanting the money so they can make more art. That's why it's the money part is important. It's not a greed thing, it's an art thing. And so, yeah, if you have the ability and opportunity to purchase something direct from a creator, I suggest doing that. And most creators, when they do get direct orders, not only do they fulfill the order as requested, but often, of course, you can get your item signed, you can get it personalized, these all come in no charge. And 9 times out of 10, creators throw extra goodies into their delivery pack free, right? So that's something you won't get from ordering from elsewhere. You get these exclusive little fun items from the creator direct for free that aren't available anywhere else other than through direct ordering. So yeah, if you're able to support a creator directly, please do. And if you can't, understandable, times are tough. So if you want to save some bucks and do it the other way, that's fine too. But yeah, that's my little PSA. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. We're nearing the end of season 2, so yeah, hang in there. Things are coming.